Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I have such an inappropriate show to do today. Inappropriate because we're going to look into fasting, the science of fasting, and it's a week too soon, but I got so excited about it, I just couldn't put it off another week. So, yes, for the next week, do what you're going to do for the holidays, but remember this show. I'm going to plant the seed today because there's something in science, and of course, that's the theme of the show. I want to take all those wonderful health practices that are written off all too often as nonsensical, non-founded, non-scientific, and absolute bunko that have been supported, pioneered, fostered, fathered by many people over the last 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 years. And yet today, who really fasts? When was the last time you did a fast? When was the last time you risked a one-week, seven-day water fast, nothing but pure water? That's almost an atrocity in our mind today. Some of us will go for the traditional juice fast a day or two, but to do a 14-day water fast, a 21-day water fast, long ago, not when time began. I'm talking only the turn of the last century. Medical doctors owned what they called, unfortunately, sanitariums. They weren't sanitariums. It's the old-fashioned colloquialism for health spa. The turn of the last century, medical doctors, Tilden, Kellogg, so on and so forth, owned health spas, and they cured diseases. And they were allowed to say they cured diseases, and these sanitariums did nothing more than fast people. That tradition's been carried down today to present day. And outside of the religious context, we have people like Sheldon Jensen, the infamous Arnold Ehrhart, rational fasting. Your health food stores are still stocked with these books, most of them touting the juice fast. And yes, in times of drought, meaning, well, maybe unemployment. We've all known what it's like to go a little bit light on the food, maybe a little lighter. Maybe in times of extreme stress, we just skip a meal, and then that meal gets skipped the second time, and before you know it, you went through that whole day without food. Think about that. All of us know that day. Nothing happened. It wasn't dangerous. But we also know that other experience, where we skip breakfast and we get a headache, where we skip breakfast or lunch or dinner and we get so hypoglycemic that we almost pass out. And if you're on lots of medications, if you're on 2 to 3 to 4 to 6 to 10 to 15 meds, and you're barely alive, well, fasting can be extremely dangerous. So all the things you hear about it, from it's dangerous, perhaps you could even die, it's uncomfortable, it's unnecessary, it's starvation. Well, there's specks of truth in all of those things. On the other side of the fence are other foundations, are other concepts that science could support completely if you got that science. Today we're going to look at the science of fasting. Now, I posted three articles on the website. I hope you're on the website, straighttalk.cc. Some of you still listen on just the pure radio. Well, so be it then. But if you can, get to the computer. Just get in there, straighttalk.cc. Of course, if you're in the car listening, I'll do the best I can to describe the show. Remember, there are archives. Get on the website, purchase the archives. Hear the show again. Get to the literature section. Click on today's postings. I have three articles. I put those articles out there in full. You'll see me do this all the time on the show. I love that. There are so many periodicals written by medical doctors and scientists attesting to so many of these holistic practices. There is hard science behind of it. And as the technologies get better, I promise you we're going to see validation of so many over the last few thousand years of these traditional holistic practices validated by hard science. Here's an example. On the website, we have three postings. Fasting and neuronal autophagy. Autophagy and its cellular mechanisms, and autophagy in aging. What is autophagy? Well, you got to look at the cell. So let's look at a little bit of cell biology to make it easy. I put on pictures number, 9 and 10. Crop up either one. Take a look at those pictures. They'll blow up nicely for you. I'm on picture number 9 right now myself. Now take a look at that. That's the cell. If you're driving, the cell is a grape. It's got a skin, the membrane. It's got all that gooey stuff in the center. That's the cytoplasm or the cytosol or the protoplasm in the old-fashioned days. The guts of the cell. Then the seed of the cell is the nucleus, and the nucleus are the chromosomes. On the chromosomes are the genes. In the genes is the double-stranded helical DNA. The DNA is made of nucleotides. Those nucleotides are made of adenine, thymine, guanine, adenine, so on and so forth, the nucleotides. That's the setup in the cell. That cell that you're looking at, picture number 9, is a factory. It takes in oxygen, it takes in glucose, and it pumps out adenosine triphosphate, ATP. That high-powered triple phosphate molecule is the currency of the cell. That's the power of the cell. That's like having money in a foreign country. You don't need to speak the language. You don't need anything. All you need to do is produce the cash. That cash is the adenosine triphosphate. That cellular currency, if it's produced enough, the cell does two things. It, number one, it performs its function, and it repairs itself, number two. And in that balance of trade, function and repair, the cell lives on and on and on and on. When the balance goes out, when the raw materials aren't provided, when the cell breaks down, well, then you have problems. The first problem is inflammation. The second problem is free radical damage or tandem to that inflammation. They're one and the same, really. After that, we don't get as much cellular production of adenosine triphosphate. And as always, life being what life is, we continue to stress the cell. So it's your brain cell, it's your heart cell, it's your kidney cell, it's your liver cell, so on and so forth. It's the cells of the glandular system. We continue relentlessly to stress these cells. How many of you have had a stressful holiday? People go a little cuckoo over the holidays. For as much as people enjoy the holidays, if you watch people, they get very nervous around the holidays. Not everybody sits at the Christmas table in a comfortable way. Old memories come up. Old conflicts arise. Lots of people get stressed because they get reminded that childhood, all the way to adulthood, just wasn't quite the way it was supposed to be. And as much as you want to bury the hatchet, you can't. I just tell you that as a doctor, as an observer. As the stress goes up, the breakdown of the cell increases. If you go into that cell there, picture number 9, and you look at the purple membrane and all those things in it, the ribosomes, the endoplasmic reticulum, the flagellum, the mitochondria, the lysosomes, the centrioles, the DNA, the RNA, the nuclear membrane, the Golgi apparatus, all these neat little depots, these little booths, these little farmers markets in the cells. They're called organelles. Those organelles have functions. Those organelles need to be repaired. If those organelles are not repaired, the cell starts losing out. It can't kill a virus. It can't kill a bacteria. It can't swallow up and get rid of a heavy metal. It can't produce its ATP. It can't repair itself. It can't function. That cell starts to look all too shabby. Join me and travel inside your body to your organ of choice. Take a look at the cluster of cells. We're not even going to talk about the space between the cells. That space, of course, you know well. That's the extracellular fluid, the space in between the cells. Just remember, that's got to be clean and dandy, spick and span, or that cell starts to die in its own filth. But let's forget that now. Let's stick to inside the cell. Those organelles, all of them, have functions. We don't need to get into those functions today. But rest assured, if you and I went down and shrunk ourselves inside that cell, angstrom units we were measured in then, if we went down there and looked at all those little organelles, we'd walk into each one and do quality control. Quality control inside the cell. We'd look at each of those organelles and say, well, this organelle, this factory is not quite up to snuff. It needs to have this replaced and that replaced and the other thing replaced. And this thing, maybe we should replace it because it looks like it's going to break down pretty soon. And then we'd go into other organelles and we'd say, this is a mess. This needs to be shut down. We can see in the totality of production that this organelle is not making its proper contribution. Here's the point. Here's the dynamic point. That cell has been placed with a divine intelligence that allows itself to scan itself. Now, how it does this, only God knows. Science is a joke when it purports to understand how the cell knows when the cell is sick. But the cell does. We observe that as biologists. We watch the cell selectively, with hierarchy, prioritize what needs to die. The cell will kill itself. It will digest itself. It will scan itself. It will look at what within itself should not be there, what's breaking down. And if it's broken down beyond repair, the cell will eat itself. Autophagy. Cannibalism. The cell will cannibalize any part of itself. Boy, as a totality, don't we wish we could do that? Metaphorically, we can. In a sense, literally, we can. But not like I'm going to describe. Like, if you didn't like your skin, you could digest your skin. Like, if you didn't like the way the cartilage under your kneecap looked, you could take off your kneecap, mash it up, get rid of it, and grow a new one. The cell actually does that. It eats pieces of itself and then puts them back together. But what do you think that means quantitatively in terms of the totality then? It means that if we take an organ, let's say the liver, love that liver because it's what? Self-generating. Those cells look at themselves, and if they don't like the way they look, and again, who knows what mechanisms behind that. But if the liver doesn't like the way the liver looks, the liver starts eating itself. Only when the liver eats itself can the liver repair itself. Now that's a fundamental you have to take to the bank. That is a critical fundamental. Only when the liver eats itself can it repair itself. I want you to sit on that concept. You really got to take that one in. So I'll say it again. Only when the liver eats itself can it repair itself. The process through which a cell in the body, in this case, just for argument's sake, a liver cell, doesn't like the way it looks, it begins to secrete enzymes in one of its structures called a lysosome. So you can stay there, that picture number, what was it, 8 or 9? Either one. Picture number 9. Look up at the top of that picture. Excuse me, the side of that picture. Bottom side, bottom left. And look at the word lysosome. Lysosome. It's this little vesicle, this little round thing. It's colored yellow in that picture on number 9. That lysosome runs around the cell, and when it sees something it doesn't like, it eats it. Now, how it knows what to eat, we don't need to get into that. And in the end, we won't know why. God knows why. Again, theme of the show. That intersection between cellular intelligence and the end of scientific grasp.